It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
And welcome to Sound Mind, and welcome, Mark. It's always good to have Mark here, because without you, it would be...
I'm pushing the buttons, as you say.
Yeah. keeping everything in sync and keeping me going and on rhythm and all this. So thanks. It's great. So today we're going to be talking about confidence in crisis. Of course, when I come and do a show, a lot of it is just, you know, what's happened during the week with, you know, a lot of things that we've talked about in session and that. And so, yeah, it's kind of, there's been a lot of people here with their plate full that I've talked to this week, and I'm sure a lot of people that I haven't talked to with their plate full. Crisis, and I'm talking about the kind of crisis that can just immobilize.
You're not talking about just necessarily world crisis or a weather anomaly. You're talking about everyday crisis.
Yeah, so a lot of the crisis that the world is in, well, at least we can step back and be somewhat, you know, we can carry on our life while we're upset about, you know, what's happening in politics or in the East or whatever. But there are people, a lot of people in, that just, you know, we come into crisis. And I've been there in my life, too, a number of times. In fact, you never know when you're going to, when something's going to happen that it just, you know, there's, think of crisis as it's an, I've got a definition here that I sort of penciled out. It's an unforeseen acute event that effectuates or brings to pass, brings about a rapid and extensive negative ramifications, often setting off a series of smaller crises in a domino effect.
Mm.
So I'm talking to people where something's gone wrong, and then very quickly, it's almost gone viral in their life. You know, it's affected everything, and now there are subsequent crises. And people often, you know, that has a feeling of just being totally disoriented or lost in the crisis. In fact, people often use those exact words.
I'm lost. You know,
I'm lost. Mm-hmm. I have no idea where I am in this situation. And so that's an aspect of like panic. And of course, panic is not, is counterproductive. But people lose perspective and they can't even see the obvious solutions. I'm reminded of a story. My wife and I bought a Volkswagen Rabbit years ago. It was a pretty nice one, used, and but it was a nice, clean little car. But it had a drain, electrical drain, somehow. And so I went through doing all the things that, you know, an amateur would do. I changed, first of all, the battery, and of course that didn't help, you know. And then I changed the voltage regulator. That sounded like that was something that might have something to do with it. Well, that didn't work either. And then, of course, I had to pump up the battery again. And then finally, I broke down and changed the generator, or alternator it was. And I thought, okay, that's, now I've changed it all. Honey, let's take a drive. Let's get out of here. So let's get out of town. So we headed out from, we were in Olympia, and we headed up toward 101 up the road there on the west side of Hood's Canal. And got up there a ways, and I don't know what we found to do up there, walked in a park or something, but by the time we headed back, it was getting dark, and it just started to pour down rain. So, of course, I had on the lights and the windshield wipers, and as I was driving along, and we got into this place between, you know, miles from nowhere, you know, it sure felt like a lot of miles. I don't know how far it is, but, you know, maybe 10 miles, and so you're halfway between. But it felt like forever from here to there, and we were kind of in the middle. The lights got dim, dim, dim. And then finally, the motor just quit. I'd never had a car do that before. It just quit, and we rolled over to the side of the road.
Oh, gosh.
And so it's just pouring down rain, pitch black, no lights. Fortunately, it was a straight stretch of road, so people coming could see us. And I was just so annoyed to begin with. I couldn't think straight. I was just, what am I going to do? We can't just, you know. But finally, after talking through the panic and realizing that you're not going anywhere. There's not a thing you can do unless you want to get out and walk in the rain in one of these two directions and try to find somebody that will do something. Who knows what, you know? And I just sat there and I thought, there's nothing I can do. And a certain kind of calm came.
Okay.
With the idea that I cannot do anything about this. I'm just going to sit here. Maybe there was a little bit of, you know, I was a little bit upset with God, maybe, and I was just going to show him how long I could
sit. Or the person who sold you the car,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, well,
it was a lemon, turns out. No. Anyway.
Then my brain started working, and I just remembered this kind of a frayed copper wire that I'd seen every time I got under the hood, a little bit of, like, about 2 inches long. And, you know, I was an electrician at the time, and I had a bunch of junk in the back of the car.
That helps.
So I got back there, and I pulled out a piece of copper wire and a wire nut, and I attached a copper wire to the alternator, and then wire netted the other end to this frayed copper thing that was attached to the frame. I just had a sense that... We sat there for a little bit. I turned the key. It started up, and I never had another problem. It was just the alternator was not grounded. We lose perspective, and as I said, we can't even see sometimes the obvious solutions. And so one of the things that we want to do, what we need is a kind of a mental roadmap when we're in crisis, a mental roadmap in a situation.
You say, too, it's time to organize the crisis.
Yeah. Yeah, organize the crisis. I have a used to work for a CIT, a crisis intervention team. One of the things that we would do is go out to a crisis situation, get a call out, and you'd have to go out and figure out, you know, what's the crisis. And I wanted to tell about this one situation where the crisis team got out there and on Fort Lewis, and it was a gal who. She looked like she couldn't have been much over 15, but she was married and married to a serviceman, and he'd been deployed. And so she was there with three kids. The kids were running around half naked and eating whatever they could find, and mother was coiled up in a fetal position on the bed and apparently just kind of whimpering and crying and this and that. She was having a panic attack because... her husband had been deployed, and so she didn't have food, and she didn't know, you know, what to do on the base without transportation, and so she was panicking, and so she was starting to shut down emotionally. Mm. And the thing is that what she needed to do is very simple in some ways, you know, if she could just organize it and break it out, she could say, well, this is the situation. This is what it's going to be. He's not coming back. And she was actually trying to get them to contact him and have him return because they weren't going to do that. But, you know, by looking at her environment, saying, you know, what do I have to do? What do I have to take care of? Now, that sounds maybe simplistic, but it's kind of what people need to do in those situations. We're going to talk a little bit more about some practical aspects of trying to do that. So I talk about compartmentalizing. When you're in crisis, whatever that might be, and I've seen people who are having their houses repossessed, losing their jobs, people who've been diagnosed with a fatal disease, all of that, marriages falling apart, all kinds of crisis. And this isn't to put a Band-Aid on it, but this is how we have to think our way through crisis and to have a confidence in crisis. So I talk about compartmentalizing, and it's a process like a logical sequence. We want to look at the crisis. We want to see a process, a logical sequence of phases or steps to go through it. I like the medical model. I like to think of a medical emergency room. So if there's a medical emergency, you head for the ICU, you know, the intensive care unit. And so the first thing they do is they care about your vitals, right?
Stabilize you.
Yeah, they stabilize you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the first thing they do is they stabilize you. And then they, after you're stable, then they analyze. And then I've got down here neutralize. They probably wouldn't use those terms, but I thought they kind of rhymed and went well, and I could remember them. So, stabilize, analyze, and neutralize. So we want to think of crisis.
And we can do that out of our own situation, our own crisis situation. Take these tools to it.
Yeah, sometimes it just takes, when we start to think of stabilizing, our goal for stabilization is to reach a place of calm. And I think that that people need to realize in crisis that it's imperative that they reach a place of calm, like the Volkswagen thing. You know, until you until you are calm, you can't see even, as I said, even sometimes the obvious solutions, and you can't, it's difficult to break the crisis down and kind of stop the domino effect that it feels like everything now is falling apart. And in fact, that isn't true. And what I have to do is just stop the domino effect and reach a place of calm.
What if the person can't do that on their own? Do they maybe ask somebody for some help?
Yeah,
to
good.
Calm down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing wrong with, the person does have to see the pattern for himself or herself. You do have to do that. But yes, a lot of times it's helpful to have somebody there with you to kind of talk you through it. I have a great person in my life, my wife, that talks me through crises, because a lot of times that other person is not in panic mode,
right,
and
right.
they can see the obvious that you don't see. So yeah, that's a great resource to be able to sit down with someone that you know. You know, sometimes a counselor, but a lot of times just a friend. Sometimes a family member. But.
Well, I hear about these things, crisis hotline. Mm-hmm. Is that the kind of thing that they would offer on a crisis hotline or whatever? Or is that more for a criminal thing going on?
A crisis hotline. I think that people could call a crisis hotline if they're having for lots of things, depression, particularly suicidal mm-hmm. hotlines and that sort of thing. And
but still,
that,
again, you're asking for help.
You're asking for help, mm-hmm. and it's you're talking to a person who has an objective perspective of
right.
your situation. You can't right. expect the person to feel your feelings, but you don't want a person that's trapped in your feelings.
No.
You want a person that's outside who can kind of point you in a direction. So, yeah, a lot of times that's good. But, yeah, a lot of times you need that outside voice to be able to see that.
But then, a counselor does,
yeah.
too.
And but you
yeah.
then you have to come to the place where you actually see that, so that you see the reason. So because until you can actually see the reason, you're not really at a place of calm. So so that's one thing where, you know, it's about, and really when we talk about in the hospital, of course, the vitals are, you know, your heart rate and your breathing and those kinds of things. And vitals in a crisis situation, we might make up a checklist of vitals in the crisis situation that we're talking about. It might go something like this. I'm trying to reach calm, of course, so I want to, and I'm in panic mode. I think everything's falling apart, so I need to get a hold of myself and say, is it life-threatening? No, it's not. Okay.
Quite often not.
Yeah, quite often not. Okay, could be. And if it's life-threatening, then what would I do? I'd call like 911 mm-hmm. or something. I'd take some practical steps. This is practical stuff. Mm. It's life-threatening. And next thing I may say, am I safe? Am I safe? Am I secure? Now, if the answers to these are yes, we're heading in a good direction. Mm. If an answer is no, then that's the thing I need to deal with. You know, I'm talking just like in the ICU, you know, they say, how is his heart rate? Not good. Deal with the heart rate. Don't move on. You know,
right.
deal with the one that's security, safety, a relative degree of comfort. I think a lot of times in crisis, if I can get to a place of calm, sometimes just a sitting position, for some people, a cup of coffee or something will help me think, or a glass of water or something, something to eat if that's part of it. You know, some support. We talked about that. Maybe an objective person to call or something and say, this is happening. You know, what can I do? And the person can, why don't I run over there and we can talk about it? Or why don't you come over here? Or we can just talk over the phone or something like that. So, support. And then, mental composure again. So they're stabilizing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we can go on, to analyzing in some of the rest of these. First of all.
Let's do that after a
let's
break.
Let's do that.
We want to be confident in crisis today. It's possible to have confidence mm-hmm. in a crisis. And Daniel Pryor is leading us through those steps. If, Daniel, people are listening today, they've been going through a crisis in their life and they need some help and they need to talk to you. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, the number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com, and there are articles written on stress and these kinds of things. I'll post one here on crisis, too, in the next week or so, and that would be ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
Yeah. Offices in Edmonds and Bellevue. We'll be back with more of Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor and the Sound Mind broadcast in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, Counselor and Life Coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
And welcome to the second part of the show, Sound Mind. We're talking today about having confidence in crisis, which we can have, but there are steps that we, practical steps that we have to take. So we were talking about breaking down the situation into realistic bites of reality. I'd say are bits of reality, bites of reality. Because a lot of times we look at the situation and don't break it. Yeah, what I talk to people sometimes about is, let's say, for example, a situation that I recently learned of, where as a person in a new work environment, doing pretty good in the work environment, but feeling pressure from a supervisor, not quite sure what that's about, wanting a future in the company, but you know, not knowing if that's the company or that's quite the job because it's costing him and his family and this and that. And lacking confidence in some way. So he's got a number of things going on. And so I talked to him about breaking it down into bits of reality or bites of reality and things that. So taking one thing at a time, because being immobilized or feeling that I'm frozen in a crisis situation or a situation, what that says to me are barriers. Mm. The bridge is out or you know, there's a roadblock. What are the roadblocks? And so in a situation like this, one of the roadblocks is I don't know how to read the supervisor. That would be one of the roadblocks. What would you do about that roadblock? I have to open up some communication. Another roadblock would be I'm not sure if this is the right job, if there's a career in this business for me. That would be one of the roadblocks, and I'm feeling immobilized. Okay, so that would be doing research about the company and the promotion possibilities and, you know, kind of the breadth of the footprint of the company and where I can move to, what I can learn, and what's the time frame. So just filling in the dots. But taking a crisis and breaking it down into what's actually going on and what can I do about it. Why am I not doing that? What's the barrier? You know, sometimes the barrier can be something very practical. I don't know a phone number. Things like that, you know. So we talked about stabilizing because we're using that the medical model. So in a crisis, the first thing I want to do is stabilize, reach a place of calm, and then I want to analyze.
You were saying here in that step of it that sometimes you're borrowing grief and emotional energy from something that's totally unrelated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So an example might be, say, a person that's they're unemployed, having maybe difficulty, bad luck with getting interviews. And so they begin to have a worry about losing things in general. And that might lead to worry about what's going to happen if I lose my apartment. What's going to happen if, what would happen to my pets? You know, what my friends think, what would, you know, self-esteem. And so first thing, you know, then that can lead to like anger about the past and pessimism about
the
future.
Well, that's the domino effect right there.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. And so, borrowing trouble and, you know, in their situation, let's say a person has, having difficulty making a house payment. And so they're getting a letter from the bank saying, well, you know, we're going to foreclose. And so there's that crisis. And then connected to that crisis might be some other worry about having to do with the kids in school or, you know, somebody's not doing their homework or, you know, there's a problem with the car. And so all of these things begin to merge as though they're the same crisis. And so there's a sense of the domino effect. And so what's needed is to compartmentalize these things and separate them out and say, this is not part of that. They don't have the same solution. If I look at them as a, you know, in the lump, I will never be able to solve them because
right.
The car situation is not exactly the house situation. So I'd have to approach them break it down into, you know, what are the issues? What are the emergent issues, the immediate issues, and deal with that one first. And so breaking them apart in that kind of, what's the immediate problem? Break down the shock, because a lot of times we go into shock, and break down the pain, the disappointment, into smaller bits of reality. Like the situation that I shared earlier about the wife at the Fort Lewis base, who was immobilized, having a panic attack because the husband was away, and she had all these responsibilities, and they had just overwhelmed him. And she was just giving up, you know, instead of having, so what someone would do with her after, you know, our job is the crisis, you know, was to determine whether she should be hospitalized or not.
Sometimes this can amp up to the point where you have an actual breakdown.
Yeah. And so that part of that was in her case was to get her hospitalized, because we could not get through to her to a place of calm. And that was partly because she wanted to go to the hospital and be medicated and get the easy way out. But that's not always the case. You know, hopefully, you know, for the most part, people are wanting to get out of the crisis and they're listening to reason. But, you know, in her case, once she's out of the hospital, she's going to have to break down her situation into mm-hmm. doable things mm-hmm. and find the boundaries and mm-hmm. Analyze it and that sort of thing. Steps toward that, dealing with denial, you know, so we're talking about, you know, breaking down the shock and the pain and the disappointment and the inconceivable into smaller bits of reality. One step in doing that is to deny or to deal with the denial and the magic thinking that immobilizes you.
What do you mean by magical thinking?
That it's not happening, that it's going to go away if I just sit here long enough, or,
right.
You know, that it's going to disappear. There was a story of airplane accident. It's a small plane airplane accident. Actually, it's a story. It's a personal story. It surprised me when I got myself caught in a situation in a small airplane crashing, and I'm the pilot.
You were the pilot of a small airplane that crashed?
I was the pilot.
Oh, gosh.
And the thing that, it surprised me how much time and effort is wasted in telling yourself that it's not really happening.
Oh, as it's going down?
As it's going down, you know. And so for people who fly, of course, they know that you have to do these emergency procedures quite often, because if you don't, if they're not at some level of your conscious nature, then, you know, practice all you want. There's nothing like the real thing. And when it happens, you immediately go into, it's not really happening. This can't be happening. You know, and so you, which is a lot of times reason people get hurt in those things is that, they don't practice it enough. That
I would think that'd be a big part of the training for.
Well, it is, but people don't continue it. Yeah. Well, for private for commercial pilot, yeah, but for private.
But you're saying in life in general, this is a metaphor for what we have, what we all deal with.
Yeah, and going into kind of a denial mode. So I hear people in crisis a lot. One of the reasons that we can't reach the calm and get to a place where we're analyzing and solving it is that we haven't embraced the reality of, okay, it's happening. This is what's happening, whether it's a medical situation, a financial situation, or whatever. And then it's a matter of, you know, so we deal with the denial and the magical thinking, and then we accept the reality and we embrace that reality. Then we can work toward a solution. And then part of that working toward the solution is what I call the mixing bowls analogy. And that is, we've talked about, take your mixing bowls, you stack them one inside the other, and put them under the faucet. The middle mixing bowl, the small one, that one fills up pretty quick, then it flows over into the next, and pretty soon all the mixing bowls are full and flowing over, and that's what we call an emotional overwhelm. The sense is that everything's out of control. But if we take the bowls apart, what we find is that the middle bowl is full, all the rest of them are almost empty. So what we have to do in dealing with the crisis is figure out, what's the middle bowl? What's the thing that's flowing into everything else? What's the thing that I need to solve first, and what can I do about that? And then the last step that we were talking about, we were to stabilize, analyze, and neutralize. Hope is so critical. And I want to, when we talk about hope, we don't want to use the word meaning with the meaning of, boy, I sure hope I come out of this, because hope has to be like a rock climber, a mountain climber. It's got a rope attached up there, and the rope is the hope. Now, he's not saying, boy, I hope that holds. he has to be saying, the rope holds. All I have to do is hang on to the rope. The rope is the hope. So we want a sense of hope in that. That's my anchor.
Okay.
Now, where do you think that we can get that? I can only think of one place.
God.
That's God. Yeah.
God loves me, and He's going to get me through this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There has to be hope in order to neutralize the crisis, because we've stabilized, we've reached calm, we've analyzed. This is what I've got to do. Now there's got to be hope. About okay, it's going to work. There's got to be that hope, and so that hope is in God. How do we build hope? Well, hard to build hope in someone that you don't talk to, and you don't know anything about. So we need to, you know, pray, be in prayer, talk to God about it. Read testimonials, talk to Christian people. A lot of times you'll meet people who have been through it or something similar, and they'll say, "I know you're going to come through this because you know I've been." Or the reminder, my wife would remind me, "We've been here before.
Right?
We've done this before. It's going to be fine." And thanks. She's my counselor, by the way, but I'm not giving her phone number.
Okay.
You got to go through me. And then support, as we brought out before, you know, someone else, some support, and then finally, a realistic and workable plan. A realistic and workable plan. And this again, you know, getting rid of some of the magical thinking, you know, about a realistic and workable plan, not a dream. Oh, someday if I'm ever out of this, but an actual plan, step by step by step by step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So confidence in crisis is what we've been talking about. And crises happen. And when they do happen, they can really knock you sideways. But we need to reach a calm, get a hold of ourselves by ourselves or with a friend. We need to then analyze the situation, neutralize the situation, taking these steps or things like this, you know, to understand it. So,
well, if you need some help, you're listening today to Daniel Pryor, and you maybe need some help with a realistic, workable plan, as he says. He can help you get through what you're facing, either through counseling or life coaching. You do a lot of life coaching for people as well. Mm-hmm. And how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Through the phone is 425-778-6169. The website, you can email me through the website, is at BibleBasedCounselor.com. And also there are a lot of helpful articles at ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
Locations in Edmonds and Bellevue, and always great information on keeping our lives in check with the Lord, and always great insights with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor here on Sound Mind.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.